Well, I told you so. Yesterday we led with a story that normally wouldn't be headline news, but was since I went to the University of Spoiled Children, USC, is my alma mater, and we said that Sarkisian had been put on indefinite leave for a substance abuse problem, and that since Pat Hayden, the athletic director, is a Rhodes Scholar and an attorney, that he would be looking over the fine print of that agreement immediately thereafter and determining whether or not he could fire Sarkisian for cause and therefore not have to pay him the remaining 3 years on the contract. And that's exactly what happened. The shark was fired. You know, it's I saw something, and I only saw it in passing as I was doing my exercise this morning, but the Florida quarterback, I think it's Florida, not Florida State, but it could be Florida State, was in front of the camera saying that he went to like a GCN kind of store, one of those health food kind of stores. And he bought a supplement, and he was using it as he was working out. And you know, he started off the year, he looked like he could pass the ball. But evidently there was something in the supplement that is banned by the NCAA, and he is going to have to forfeit, I think, the rest of the year. And you just shake your head and says, what's wrong with the numbskulls? And in college football, that a kid that would take a supplement would be banned for a year. You know, here you have a coach, of course, that is choosing to imbibe mind-altering intoxicants. But it bothered me a great deal that that they would be so high and mighty that this unethical organization would keep a kid from being able to play because there was a banned substance lurking in a off-the-shelf supplement. Scott, one of the most well-known practices of our day. Now, I know a guy like you wouldn't know this. Of course, I wouldn't know it other than I occasionally read the magazine for the articles. But did you hear what's happening at Playboy?
No, I haven't, actually.
Oh, my goodness. So you don't read Playboy for the articles?
No.
I always remember the famous article of Jimmy Cotta. He said he lusted in his heart. So he was committed adultery. Playboy magazine is going to stop publishing images of naked women. It's going to really find out who buys the magazine based upon its articles. Yeah, it's true.
Why are they doing this? What is their reasoning behind this?
They claim that the battle has been won, and that a decision was apparently taken last month at a meeting attended by Playboy's founder and editor-in-chief, Hugh Hefner. The magazine executives admitted that Playboy, which was founded in 1953, had been overtaken by the changes it pioneered, according to the New York Times. That battle has been fought and won, Playboy chief executive Scott Flanders is quoted as saying during the meeting. So they're going to still take pictures of pretty girls, and they may be topless, but they will not be naked anymore. I don't know what battle, by the way, Playboy was fighting. And if they were fighting it, the weapons they were using is a weapon unknown to me in terms of...
I'm trying to figure out here first I was going to ask, what battle were they fighting? Was it, you know, women's liberties or whatever, you know, we can do what we want type thing? But if... I don't see how they plan to be profitable going forward because they're going to try and go into a market that is already dominated by.
Well, I guess now the magazine won't have to be sold, you know, behind the counter or you know.
No, but you got like Maxim. Maxim is a big one right now. That is pretty much is what. You know, I guess Playboy is going to try and compete directly with now.
Okay.
Because they have, you know, scantily clad women in their thing, but it's the articles in there Maxim is actually one where I have picked up so I can I read. In fact, when I took the airplane trip, they had some, you know, they caught my attention with the articles, and yeah. So
okay.
I
wasn't the cover picture, huh?
No. Well, I think the, I don't know.
You don't like pretty girls.
No, I do like pretty girls. But, I mean, unless Robin's listening, in which case, I don't
even
notice.
No, of course, if she's listening, you like pretty girls. That's why you like Robin.
There you go.
There you go. Let me help you out here.
I just think it's a foolish move, and I think they bought into a joke, because that's what that, oh, I only read Playboy for the articles. That's what that is. That's a joke. That's a joke. You see your friend that had, you know, you found your friend's Playboy, and you're like, what's this, man? Oh, I read it for the articles, you know. Yeah. That's, so I think they bought into that.
Yeah. Now, personally, I think I've stated this before, I really don't have a conniption over scantily clad women. I mean, I think that the boss is an extraordinary a designer. I rather like his design. I don't see where he says that pretty women are a bad thing. I'm just not hung up on it. I think that a lot of it is based upon Christianity, where and Islam, where women are to be lorded over by men, and they aren't to have any independence on their own, and any sexuality on a part of a woman is frowned on in either of those two religions, and those are the dominant two religions in the world. So I think that a lot of the repression of sensuality is a direct result of Christianity and Islam, and I just don't think it plays any place, and it shouldn't play any significant place in our judgment. It's now Yahweh clearly created us to be married and to be faithful in marriage and to have to enjoy. Creating, conceiving, and building a loving family, but he certainly designed us so that we would be attracted to one another, and I think that is actually a good thing. And of course, a lot of the Christian problem is that Paul, as a homosexual and as an admitted sexual pervert, and by the way, I'm not tying those two things together, but he's defined as a homosexual by Yahweh, had a fascination with the male genitalia. The Torahless one is also presented as a homosexual, the man that will be the known to Christians as the Antichrist. And it's only material in the sense that it is a practice that is inconsistent with the covenant where Abraham and Sarah came together to conceive Yishak, laughter. I think it's a lot of Christianity's problem is Paul's animosity towards women. And then if you look at Islam, Muhammad hated women. You know, his idea of sex was control, abuse, rape, pedophilia. It all screams that he despised women, the fact that he made them dress into to tents. So, anyway, it's just one person's perspective could well be wrong on this, but I'd have to tell you that of the things that bothered me in society, Playboy was not high among them. I will tell you something that bothers me a lot more. The United States military delivered 45 tons, but 90,000 pounds, 90,000 pounds of ammunition to, it says, rebels fighting the jihadist group, the Islamic State, and northeastern Syria. Well, since there are no non-Al-Qaeda, that would be al-Nusra, or non-Islamic State rebels, of any consequence, and the United States has actually done what I told you they would have to do, admit that their training of moderate Muslims to be rebels was an utter failure. It was announced last week that $500 million program was scrapped because in the end, all the weapons that were supplied were turned over to al-Nusra or the Islamic State, and the rebels that were trained either fled or they joined al-Nusra or the Islamic State. At best count, the most optimistic estimate of all of those that we spent hundreds of millions of dollars training and equipping is that there were a grand total of 5 of them still engaged in the battle. So if these this 90,000 pounds of ammunition were provided, and it was a lot more than ammunition, it was anti-tank weapons, it was surface-to-air missiles, it was rocket-propelled grenades, it was all manner of weaponry dropped from C-17s transport aircraft on pallets. I dropped in northeastern Syria. Do you know who's in northeastern Syria? That would be the Islamic Republic of the Kurds. And you know who is also active in northeast Syria? The Turkish government, bombing them. So America now is providing the Turks with weapons, while the NATO partner, Turkey, is bombing them. I mean, you talk about a schizophrenic war. The United States provided all the arms for the Islamic State, all the arms for al-Nusra. We're on their side in the sense that we are, we're also want Assad deposed, and they're the only credible foes against Assad. And and yet we are equipping and bombing on behalf of Iran against the Islamic State and against al-Nusra, while at the same time partnering with Turkey and equipping Turkey in this war, while at the same time providing the weapons of the avowed enemy of the Turks, the Kurds. I mean, I don't know how you, if you were to drop a plot for this and submit it as a movie, America does stupid. America does stupid killing and destruction. America's military doing the unthinkable, the unconceivable. Arming both sides, bombing both sides, killing both sides, opposing both sides. There isn't a producer in the world that would say that's credible. No one could be that stupid. And yet here we are, and Americans don't seem to give a hoot. And there isn't a single political candidate that's saying, you know, folks, this is stupid. Counterproductive, even. The Pentagon said that, you know, now that it's abandoned its $500 million plan to train thousands of, and it put in, it's funny now, even the media put in quotes, moderate rebels. I mean, are the politicians the last, or is the American people, I mean, who are the last to finally slam this door on this myth of a moderate Muslim? And, you know, it's okay. Let's just say you're stupid, that you're ignorant. Ignorant means you lack knowledge, and you're irrational. You're not able to connect things together to form a reasoned conclusion. And therefore, you don't know that Islam is responsible for 99% of the world's terrorist acts, and that Muhammad was a ruthless terrorist, and that Islam is a terrorist manifesto. Let's say you just don't know those things. You're just completely ignorant. You're completely irrational. You don't know any of that kind of stuff.
I would say if you don't know that stuff, it's because you're purposely trying not to find that stuff.
Well, of course, yeah. But you know, political correctness, which is the national religion of America, is designed to preclude people from being rational. That's the purpose of it. That's the purpose of it. You're more easily misled and indoctrinated when you're taught not to be rational.
Feelings matter more than actual facts.
Oh, and feelings and, over facts. And it's more important to be, vastly more important to be politically correct than to be correct.
Which all for being politically correct is...
Yeah, right. A lie under political correctness is vastly more correct in our society than the truth. So that's just the nature of the beast that we're fighting. But beyond all that, how could anybody who was even, just say you're completely ignorant of Islam, take Islam out of the picture, you're looking for a moderate rebel, a moderate militant. That's like saying I want to find a skinny fat person.
I would like to.
Where would you find a skinny fat person?
I'm against gangs, except for moderate gangs. I don't mind moderate gangs.
You know, I'm looking for a non-ghoulish hacker. I want to find an honest thief.
Should we change?
If I could find a credible liar.
Should we change attempted murder into moderate murder? Like is only kind of.
I want to find a peaceful fighter, a moderate militant. I mean, come on. It's so astonishing that America, you know, over the course of this battle has pledged $500 million programs to do this, when the moment they said it, we just mocked them mercilessly and said, this is absolutely insane, and finally they gave up.
I figured it out. You can do whatever you want as long as it's in moderation, right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you can be a militant so long as you're a moderate militant. The money will be sent and spent. No, given back to the taxpayers? No. To provide much-needed ammunition and some weapons to commanders of rebel groups already established on the ground. Who are the rebel groups that are established on the ground that we are giving weapons to? Because we're trying to bomb the bejesus out of al-Nusra and the Islamic State. So there's only two other groups of rebels on the ground. They are Hezbollah, Allah's party, Hezbollah, from Iran. That's really swell. And the other is the Peshmerga, which means to embrace death. That doesn't sound too moderate to me. Those are the Kurds. And the Kurds are calling themselves by a different acronym when they accept American weapons in Syria than they do when they're fighting the Turks for their independence. But they, guess what? All of the images, all of their propaganda is identical. The founder of the PKK is the only image that they have enshrined in all of their headquarters, regardless of what side of the border they're fighting on. So these are simply empowering the Kurds to take up weapons so that they can have their own country carved out of Iraq. Now, I'm not opposed to them carving a country out of Iraq, mind you. Not opposed to them doing that at all. Not even opposed to arming them against the Turks. They're not fighting significant battles against the Islamic State. They engaged there for a while. It wasn't worth the Islamic State's time. All the Islamic State wanted is a porous border with Turkey so they could recruit jihadists from around the world. The Islamic State has not and will not attempt to conquer and occupy an area that is not sympathetic to them. The lessons of history are replete with fallen barbarians that tried to do that. It can't be done. The Russians know it. The Americans know it. The ISIS knows it. Yeah, nothing says moderate to me. Nothing says peace to me. Nothing says let's end the surge of refugees to me. Nothing says let's bring this civil war to a quiet conclusion. Nothing says let's stress a diplomatic solution to me more than 100 pallets of weapons dropped into the hands of jihadists. How does that strike you? That America, as the nation seeking a diplomacy over conflict, that's what the Obaminator said when he was being a hypocrite at the United Nations. Nothing says diplomacy better than 100 pallets of weapons, of surface-to-air missiles, of anti-tank and anti-personnel weapon systems, of 50-caliber machine guns. It strikes me as the perfect answer if you're into diplomacy.
And they'll never use them on us.
Oh, of course not.
They promise they won't.
Of course not. And then they'll never use them in their battle against the Turks who are flying whose aircraft?
pretty sure ours, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty sure ours, yeah. Well, speaking of aircraft, the Malaysian Airlines Dutch Safety Board came up with what is the most logical connection. We covered this story in great depth when it occurred, which was the Malaysian Airlines Flight 17, which, from our point of view, was brought down because of the stupidity of flight controllers in Europe, you know, to not to recognize the known fact that at the United States' urging, the Kiev regime was using aircraft to bomb civilians throughout Luhansk and Donetsk, and that the Russian separatists, the ethnic Russians there, who didn't want any part of the Kiev regime, were attempting to defend themselves, and that they had successfully captured Ukrainian military bases in their region and therefore taken control of things like the Belk anti-aircraft system, and had successfully deployed that system to rid the skies above their cities of Kiev regime bombers, to fly a civilian aircraft directly over the area that the Ukraine regime was bombing, knowing that in the weeks prior, the separatists had successfully downed a number of aircraft, was just stupid. Just unbelievably, mind-numbingly stupid. And so the immediate review of the evidence, we came to the conclusion that said, you know, based upon what we've read, know for certain that the rebels had a anti-aircraft weapon, that they had been bombed routinely by the Kiev regime, that they were defending their civilian community against the Kiev regime, and that, you know, when you're looking at an aircraft flying overhead, it's really nigh on impossible to differentiate by sight a bomber from a civilian aircraft, that somebody said, we'll get them. You know, that they're coming to bomb us again. We'll get them. And they attempted to do so, only to recognize after it was too late that the aircraft they had fired upon was civilian. Wasn't an intent. It was an accident, but as an accident that could have been prevented had the United States not insisted that the Kiev regime start a war against those who had voted to separate from them. So, anyway, that's the long-awaited findings from the board. They came to the conclusion that that we came to immediately the same day that we learned of the downing of that aircraft. Turning to fighters, Russian fighter jets have been shadowing U.S. Predator drones on at least three occasions here recently, high above Syria since the start of Russia's air campaign, according to U.S. officials. The first time it happened, we thought the Russians just got lucky. Oh, how in the world could those Ruskies manage to identify and follow our drones? They must just have gotten lucky, because we're way too smart to have a deployed a drone that can be followed by those Ruskies. Well, after they did it two more times, the American official says, well, maybe we have a problem, and they're just trying to tell us that we're on top of you. Both officials said on reporting to the media on the condition of anonymity, said the incident took place over the Islamic State-controlled areas in Syria, including the de facto headquarters in Raqqa, as well as along the Turkish-Syrian border near Kobani. Another occurred in the northwest in the highly contested city of Aleppo. Well, that's pretty much the whole area of Syria. The U.S. military's MQ-1 Predator drone is not a stealth aircraft, although it is quite stealthy. It can be seen on radar, one official said. The development comes as Russia has moved some of its Mi-24 gunships and transport helicopters from an airbase along the Mediterranean to another airbase outside of Homs, roughly 100 miles away. The Russian ground forces, hundreds of Russian Marines, as well as four BM-30 Smerch rocket launchers capable of firing cluster munitions, mines, as well as high explosive warheads are now in position to strike. But there is no evidence they have done so, at least up to this point, although people don't deploy weapons like that without an intent to use them. Infantry fighting vehicles and more conventional artillery batteries have also been seen by the intelligence community. The Russians are digging in. Now, the fact of the matter is, the Russians can't beat ISIS. The Islamic State. The Russians can't beat al-Nusra. The Russians can certainly inflict heavy casualties on the Islamic State and heavy casualties on al-Nusra, but the only way they can do that is to inflict even heavier casualties on civilians. They will manufacture vastly more jihadists than they kill. That is the nature of religious fighting. They will find themselves manufacturing 100 jihadist militants for everyone they kill. And they will also find themselves in the economic cauldron that is modern-day stupid warfare, where, for example, the United States will use 10 $250,000 cruise missiles to take out 3 $10 tents and scare 5 camels to death. The more you deploy such sophisticated weaponry, the more you are certain to lose. Because there is the economics of it are certain to bankrupt your enterprise. And that's where the Russians find themselves. And the Russians don't have a death wish. You know, the Russian boys that are there and their parents that are back home don't have a death wish for their sons. They know that there is no perverted paradise awaiting those who die killing others. And when you're fighting someone who has a death wish, who wants to die killing you, you're just not going to prevail. Particularly in an asymmetrical war where your weapons are designed for an enemy very different than the one coming at you. When it's a low-tech enemy that hides behind the skirts of its women, that protects itself with children, that is all on a guerrilla and terrorist mindset, that is willing to blow themselves up as suicide bombers, you're just not going to prevail with modern and expensive weapons of war. So while I applaud Putin for recognizing that the only temporary hope in Syria is to protect Assad, as scumbag of an individual as he may be, it is considerably wiser for the world to rally around Assad than it is to try to replace Assad. That's the lesson that we did not learn in Libya and the lesson we did not learn in Iraq. But that being the case, there is no way to fight and to prevail using bullets and bombs against a religious opponent. And so, unless and until we fight Islam intelligently using reason, using words, using their own scriptures against them, exposing the religion for its hideous heart, its hideous soul, exposing and condemning Muhammad for what he said and for what he did, we're going to have absolutely no chance of prevailing, and that goes for the Russians. And for those who would think that the Russians, because Putin is strong-willed, will prevail, all I have to do is tell you that when Russia was the second most important superpower in the world, at the height of Russian power, when the Russians were fighting an infinitely inferior foe in the American-backed Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, with Russia deploying vastly more resources, they lost. They'll lose here as well. But we now have a very substantial array of Russian troops and Russian weapon systems integrated into Syria, all while America is flying drone missions and bomber and fighter missions over Syria. There is a 0% possibility that that can continue on for any period of time without either the Russians killing Americans or Americans killing Russians. And in today's world, when that happens, what do you think the odds are that sane, moral, and rational minds will prevail and that people will accept one another's apologies and just go on? Or will they use it as an excuse for world war? This article says that all of the movements demonstrate that the Russians are forming a protective belt around Latakia, the stronghold of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, and are carrying out airstrikes against anti-Assad rebel forces, some backed by the CIA. I tell you what, if the CIA, which I think is the most despicable organization in America, it's maybe second to the NCAA. I'm not sure which one is more despicable, but last time I checked, the NCAA wasn't using torture. So let's go with the CIA. For them to be arming and backing a rebel force, the only effective rebel force against Assad, it's not the Islamic State, it's al-Nusra. And al-Nusra models itself after al-Qaeda. So if the CIA has a rebel force that is backing, then we ought to be ashamed. And but the CIA, you know, it was the organization that backed al-Qaeda, created al-Qaeda, and backed the Taliban in their battles against the Russians in Afghanistan. So maybe they're right back in their element. I mean, that's what they're good at, is arming fundamentalist Muslims to attack Russians. The only thing is that when we did it the last time in Afghanistan, it backfired on us. Because the CIA is an immoral organization, it was incapable of recognizing the consequence of its actions, and it saw the simplistic idea that it wanted to give the Russians a taste of what they gave us in Vietnam. So we went in and deliberately provided anti-aircraft weapons to the Taliban and to al-Qaeda. And what did that do? What did that do? Think of the world, how different it would have been had America not aided and abetted and armed al-Qaeda. But that was the consequence of the stupidity of the CIA and the then president and national security advisor of the United States. And now here we're doing it again. Against the same foe. Not only incapable of rationally analyzing cause and consequence, but incapable of looking back at history and learning any lesson from history and repeating the same mistake. The Pentagon maintains the vast majority of strikes from its forward operating base at Basel, al-Assad Airport at Latakia, including some 30 fighter bomber jets, have been against Syrian opposition forces and not against the Islamic State. Well, that's because, stupid, the Islamic State doesn't see as its primary foe the Damascus-based military. It doesn't see Assad as its primary foe. Its primary foe is Shia Islam. And Assad is only tangentially a Shia Muslim. He is a secular dictator, and he only became aligned with Shiite Islam because of the destruction of Saddam Hussein. He was a Ba'ath Party secular dictator like Saddam Hussein, who was partnering with Saddam Hussein when America went into Iraq and opposed Saddam Hussein, effectively creating a new partnership with Assad and Tehran, with the mullahs in Tehran. And so the only reason the Islamic State would do Assad in is because of his affiliations with Shiite Iran. But, you know, the last thing the Islamic State wants is to occupy Damascus. It's way too Shiite. You know, they don't want to go to places that are predominantly Shiite because there is no way to occupy those places even once they successfully conquer them. And so it's really easy to know who you're fighting against and who is opposed to whom and why. As you look at the landscape here and the religious affiliations of these groups and where these groups came from and why these groups emerged. But no one in the Pentagon, no one in Washington seems capable of doing that. The Russians have carried out only, this is an amazing quote, the Russians, this is from the U.S. military, the Russians carried out only one half or at best a quarter of the strikes they claim to have conducted, said a senior military official. The Russians have carried out only one half or at best a quarter. Now, of the strikes they claim to have carried out. You know, if it's at best a quarter, then it can't be a one half. I mean, the math's not complicated here. Are we really that stupid?